Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our brothers and sisters who have led us tonight to sing praise to your name. You alone are worthy, Lord Jesus. We honor you tonight. We pledge our loyalty, our devotion, our lives to you. We present ourselves to you so that we might be useful for your service. We pray for the ministry life of this church and for all that is happening on this campus tonight. We're grateful for all the teachers and leaders. We thank you for all of the students and boys and girls and adults who gather here. We pray, Lord, that you might help us to be pleased with what we do as a church, and tonight that you would open our minds to the truth of your word about our spiritual gifts that you have graciously given to us and sovereignly chosen to place in each of our lives as an evident token of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. May we see that, may we understand it, may we live rejoicing in it. Give us greater understanding in these truths tonight. We thank you for those who join us online who cannot be here, some who are not able to ever be here, and others who are not able tonight to be with us. We pray for them, we pray your blessings upon them, wherever they are, what they're going through tonight. So thank you, Lord, now, and bless our conversation and our time in your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Good evening. Good to see all of you. I hope you have your outlines. There's some, I believe, on the table. And so we continue on. Those of you online, may the Lord bless you. We miss you. We thank the Lord for you, but we're grateful that you can join us. All right. We're in the middle of it. We just had our wonderful time of ordination for Justin Dudas as one of our new deacons. Emily's back there. So we said to Justin, what do you do at the fire hall? He's a fireman. What do you do at the fire hall? And he said, in between fires, we train. What do we do at church? We worship and we train. And that's what we're doing tonight. The things that I'm talking to you about tonight, I believe, will be a blessing to you all the days of your life. One of the greatest discoveries of all is knowing how God has gifted you. Look, if you want to know about how the Holy Spirit works, you learn by what the Holy Spirit does in you. This is such an important lesson, so I hope that all of you have taken. I'm still holding up the old inventory, but you can go online. It's much quicker if you do it online. It'll tabulate it for you, and it'll send you immediately your results, and it has an explanation for all of these various gifts. So tonight we go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. So find your place in 1 Corinthians. The book of 1 Corinthians, and we're going to go to two places, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Put your mark in 12, and we'll start in chapter 1. 1 Corinthians 1 and 1 Corinthians 12. I'm going to read, first of all, from 1 Corinthians 1 and then make some comments to you that I believe are important for me to say. We record these things, so it'll be important for others in our church who will be able to hear these things also who can't be with us. The Corinthian church was a very cosmopolitan church. It was very sophisticated in the ancient world, trade, business. You had all of that in Corinth. It was one of those busy places. It was a critically strategic place to put a church. And so we discover that as Paul would move along and they would plant churches in these key areas. So he's speaking to the Corinthians. They had their challenges as a church, and Paul tries to talk to them about it. In fact, he writes two letters to this church to try to talk to them about it. They had a love-hate relationship with Paul. Paul spoke the word of God truthfully to them. They didn't always like his tone, his spirit, but Paul loved them and tried to be a pastor to them. So we begin reading in verse number 1. Paul, called as an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling, with all who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Let's look for a moment. To the church of God which is at Corinth. This diagram, it has many little bodies making up one big body. It is a description of what we've been talking about. The one believer connected to another believer that makes up the big body of Jesus Christ. That has a local expression like we are at First Baptist, but it also is global. Now let's pause here. The word church, I'm saying some things here along that I want you to hear. They all tie together. Just listen to me tonight because this is a burden I've tried. I said it to the early group. I want to say it to you because I want this to be really clear why this is all important. To the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ, saints by calling. The word church is plural. There is a false way of thinking in especially American churches, among American Christians, I should say. The idea that I can be a Christian and I don't really need the church. This is a quite popular thing, especially when people are offended or having trouble with the church. The idea is that I'm my own church. That's a terrible idea, by the way. That's a horrible idea, and it's not biblical. You're not a church. You're a believer in Jesus Christ placed in the church as a result of being saved. So I have some things I want you to see. Notice this. The very Greek word ekklesia is a plural word in the Greek language. It's ekklesia. The called out ones. Called out ones. Ekklesia. To the ekklesia of God which is at Corinth. To those, plural, who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus. I'm looking here tonight. There is in this room an example of those of you who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's this great word. You've been sanctified. It means you've been set apart for holy purposes. Now your life matters for holiness. It doesn't matter for worldliness. It matters for holiness. Now you live a separate, sanctified life. You've separated yourself. Notice, and you're called saints, that is, holy ones. This Corinthian church had a lot of sinful things that these people had done toward one another, even though they were saints. This is the contradiction. The church isn't perfect. We're still sinners saved by grace, and we sometimes get on each other's toes, but we're called saints. That's not just for special people who really get way high up there and they get, you know, called a saint. I'm looking here at saints. I could start calling your names. Why, there's Saint Jeff running the soundboard here. And Saint Scott over there. And Saint Chris. And I could go on. Saints. Saints. And you could say, why, there's Saint Mike up there. Anyway, called saints. With all who in every place call on the name of the Lord Jesus, their Lord and ours. Notice now, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now follow me carefully. Pay attention to what Paul does. He layers his thoughts together in layers. He says to the Corinthian church, I thank my God always concerning you for, number one, the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus. All right, listen, that's to every one of you as a believer individually. God's given you grace and He continues to give you grace. But listen, that's also for the church. He gives us grace, and part of that grace is this right here. Here's the grace of God. He gives the church gifts. He graciously gifts us. Notice He goes on and says that in everything you were enriched in Him. So what are we? We experience the riches of Christ. We live on the grace of God and the riches of the Lord Jesus. Everything you need in your life, He enriches us. He enriches us with His blessings. Knowing Jesus Christ, and notice it, He enriches us, and it enriches even our speech and our knowledge. Verse 6, even as the testimony concerning Christ was confirmed in you. Every one of us who are believers, we've seen a confirmation in our life that we've been changed. There are some church organizations and groups, well, when someone's coming to membership, they confirm them. That is, they go through their beliefs and their statements. But here's the point. As a result of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, as a result of being saved, we are confirmed in the Lord. Verse 7, so that you are not lacking any gift. The Corinthian church had the spiritual gifts they need, and I say it this way. First Baptist Church has the spiritual gifts we need. That's why we're laboring to get everybody who's a member of this church your spiritual gifts. As the pastor, it's my obligation to know how you're gifted so that we can put everybody who's a member to work in the ways that they want to serve, not in ways they don't want to serve. The joy of service comes when you're serving, look, out of your gifts. That's why we want you to know them. And then that's for us, myself and the other pastors and deacons and leaders to say, okay, this is the way we can use our people according to their giftedness. Now follow along, verse 7. You're not lacking any gift. By the way, you're not lacking any gift. As a result of being a Christian, you took that inventory and you looked at all these things we have up here. And I ask you to pick out the top three. Maybe they were ties, they were clothes, two or three. Because those are generally the things that make you who you are. And by the way, knowing most of you like I do, your giftedness shows up in your life. That's part of seeing the Holy Spirit at work in your life, is seeing you exercise your gifts. So he says here that the church has every gift that they need. Verse 7, waiting eagerly for the Lord Jesus to come. That's what we're doing. Who will confirm you until the end, blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Please notice verse 9. God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Isn't this interesting? We have fellowship with one another in Jesus, and every one of us individually has fellowship with Jesus because we're believers. So Paul writes to these believers, notice here, individually, here, look, these little stick men up here, stick women. And by the way, some have dresses on and some have men. You'd be happy. Women and men are both in here. The president just realized and announced that, you know, there's only men and women in the world. That's really good. That's good that we could get that cleared up. Men and women who are believers in Christ. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. So the point is that we, men and women, who are believers in Jesus Christ, have been gifted. But this is what I want to pause here. You got to let me now talk about this. Don't shut me down when you think, oh, here he goes. It's Brother Mike in his old age talking. I'm talking about something that's really important here. So let me pause before we go to 1 Corinthians 12 and the outline. And I want you to hear me say these things. I want to go on record saying them. Paul didn't write this to a believer at Corinth. He wrote this to the believers at Corinth. There is this idea, coming back to it now, that I can be a Christian and really it may or may not work out for me with the church. First of all, someone's not taught someone right if they think that. That's a total inaccuracy. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as is the manner of some. We already read that in the New Testament. Some who were saved were now creating a new habit. They weren't going to church. They weren't living. Don't go to church. Be the church. And the church is not a building. It is made up of, here, all of these who make up the one body of Christ, locally in the local church and then globally around the world. Believers, when you are saved, listen, some spiritual things happen that you couldn't see, but it happened when you became a believer. Believers at conversion are spiritually joined to the body of Christ globally. And what's the first thing we do when we talk with people about coming to know Christ? For them to come and visibly join, that's right, join, unite, put membership in a church, because there's accountability, there's ministry, there's all of these relational things that you cannot have if you don't have a relationship with the church. But you're a part of the body of Christ at conversion. You're also united to Christ by the Holy Spirit at conversion. And in the days ahead, we'll talk more about united to Christ. Also, when you become a believer, what have I said? You receive spiritual gifts. They don't ever get revoked. You can use your spiritual gifts in dishonor of God, but it'll grieve the Holy Spirit. And we've seen that happen before. Believers are to live with one another in their local church in love and deep relationships, and the Lord commanded that. You see, it's all about, listen, it's all about us being together, not separate. And I want to say this to you. It does matter. It does matter that you are finding your way into relationship in a local church. If it's First Baptist Church, so we're looking at, so we have on our, we have an actual membership roll. We look at that roll, well over 1,000 people who are members of this church. We have a lot of accountability. I do. I answer to God to see how all of our people are moving forward in their spiritual life, and I'm greatly concerned about that. It's job one. One of the greatest ways you express your love for other Christians, now listen, is to exercise your spiritual gifts. We need you to do what God made you to do. We don't need you to try to be some other gift. You look at somebody else and say, oh, I wish I had their gifts. That's a terror. Why? Be who you are, as I said to you. Live in the joy of the Christian life you have with the discovery and excitement of your gifts. Look, you don't have to work to use your spiritual gifts. They're natural to you as a result of being saved. You just get up and do it. We got some people here who are way off the chart. I mean, I can pick any one. I was talking to one of them today who's way off the chart on mercy, and she's about burned out. Well, you still have to put boundaries. She's just going all the time. Mercy, 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 as we read the definition. She doesn't have to wake up and say, well, I really need to be merciful. She's just full of it. And you're full of your gifts too. You don't have to try. It comes as a result of being born again. But why do people stop going to church? I believe this is the saddest story a preacher can tell. On around 15 years here, you know, many years, different places, maybe close to 50 in all years doing ministry in the church. What have I seen? People who start in the church and then stop. Stories of believers who stop going to church. When I came here, there were a lot of people who don't go to church here anymore. They still live in Dixon. They don't go to another church. They don't go at all. What causes a person to say, I'm saved, born again, going to heaven, bless God, I don't need the church? People really say that. Some of them used to be deacons. Some of them have been preachers. Some of them have done other things in the church. This is this pressure of independent, solo Christianity versus being in the body of Christ. Why do people not go to church? Well, they get offended. Boy, that's a big one. Did you see the way he looked at me? No, I really didn't see the way he looked at you. I know this one well because the sadness is that my own parents, they got offended, so they quit going to church. Five kids in our family, I thankfully had some people in the church who, and my parents thankfully didn't block it, but sometimes that happens. You're not going to mess with my kids. Okay. I witnessed it. I'm thankful for those who took care and helped me along in the little Baptist church I grew up in Oklahoma City. Above my four sisters, not so much. They got a pass. No patterns, no spiritual life, learned as children, no disciplines, no prayer, no Word of God, just like everybody else, but somehow we're going to go to heaven. Well, my father got very upset in a meeting, and that's it. He is done with church. Done all the rest of his life, by the way. We buried him, he didn't go to church. False expectations of the church. Why do people quit going to church? Well, you know, Brother Mike, you know, we love you, but... I mean, I've had actually people invite me to dinner to tell me they were leaving the church. It's like, well, just call me up and tell me. We didn't have to have a dinner. I mean, I appreciate the dinner. I mean, I'll eat my chicken, but... We love you, Brother Mike, but, yeah, but. And then it's a talk about, like, you'd talk about shopping. It just doesn't meet our needs. It's like Walmart versus Kroger. Well, we're not Kroger or Walmart. We're the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ at First Baptist Church Dixon with a task, with beliefs, and we have rules, and we have disciplines, and we don't back up on them, and we have expectations. People, you know, they float around. A little community like ours, we got a lot of choices in churches, and you can go. Again, we got people that used to be here who've been pretty much to every church in town. They can't get happy. The church just doesn't do it for them. But you see, it's not about me. The church isn't about me. The church is about the Lord Jesus Christ and the glory of God and the gospel. I lose myself in this to see the glory of God take place. Why do people leave the church? Well, they have moral failure. It can be preachers, it can be anybody. Why do people leave the church? Well, they apostatize. You know what that word means? It means they fall away. They don't even believe anymore. In my experience, some of the saddest meetings of my life were talking with men who started out well, who sought aggressively to learn God's Word, and one day they thought they knew it all, and then they just decided, this is all ridiculous. It's all a scam. And they became, they disavowed any walk with God. They're apostate. They didn't just fall away, they rejected Christianity. Worldliness. Why do people quit going to church? Brother Mike, I can't work it in. I cannot work it in. Do you know the kids' ball schedule this year? No, I really don't. But I know you're going to go. I'm not fussing. I'm just making observations. Do you know how many things we have our children involved in? No, but maybe you should ask how many. Worldliness. I remember when I first came here, they said, now, Brother Mike, now don't get offended. Don't get offended. Look, you think I'm just going off, but I'm not. All this has a purpose. Stay with me. Brother Mike, now look, you're here in Dixon, and you know, boy, now look, during the football season, you know, we're going to have some people that won't be here on Sundays because of the Titans. Well, boy, I don't hear that anymore. They are the sorriest team in the NFL. But we're going to build the biggest stadium in the world. We don't have any problem with people missing out on the Titans, unless you want to put a bag over your head and go sit up there in the stands. But you see, the ball game. It's the ball game. Or it's, Brother Mike, I work all week. You don't really have a job, but I have a job. And I'm really tired on Sunday. Do you know how little I get to go turkey hunting or fishing? No, I really don't. But apparently you're going to do it. And I could go on. Why do people stop going to church? We just finished it. Because if you don't replace your sinful habits with holy habits, you'll quit following Jesus. I'm doing the same thing I'm talking to you about doing every day of my life. Holy habits, the spiritual disciplines. Discipline yourself to godliness, or you'll go back to ungodliness. Self-righteousness. This is perhaps my favorite one. You know, I don't really need to go up there to church because I got my favorite preachers and I can look at them all on my device. I can read my Bible myself and study it. Who needs a preacher? Who needs teachers? One of the saddest stories in all the world is a famous Bible teacher who at the end of his life stopped attending church. He was asked why he stopped, and this is a very well-known, famous Bible teacher. He was asked why he stopped attending church. He said he stopped attending church because he could not find a local church that was theologically correct enough. If he attended, he would be compromising his beliefs, he said, so he excommunicated himself by choosing to isolate himself and focus on personal Bible study instead of attending a local church. He said, it's better to stay home and read Scripture than to attend a church that did not align with his views. Wow. He didn't apparently read his Bible when he was doing Bible reading. Because when you come to church, it doesn't mean everybody's in agreement. Why do people stop going to church? Independent, insubordinate, and unteachable. A man moved into a community and he saw another man and he said, well, where do you go to church? And the man said, I go to this church. And the man said to him, he said, oh, such and such is your preacher. And he said, yeah. And he said, well, he don't really have a preacher. You just got a guy who gets up and gives his opinions. That's the spirit of America. I do it myself. And I don't need anybody or church or anybody in that church to tell me what to do. See, this is the crossroads. This is why I'm talking about all of this. Because, my friends, you can never follow Jesus by yourself. You follow Jesus with the rest of us. And we go over and over in Scripture. It is let us, let us, let us. Not, hey, you. It's let us. That's the call. Believers are united to the church, the many. See, every individual makes it up. And that's why we are what we are at First Baptist Church. Now go to your outline and go to Romans 12. All of that mattered in order for you to hear these words in Romans 12. I'm right about on my schedule. What I've done is outlined for you 1 Corinthians 12 down through verse number 27. I'm not going to read through the chapter that way. I'm just going to take you through the points. Now that you've heard this first part, I'm coming back to now make my point. The Lord Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, by the way, He didn't go off and say, hey, John, let me tell you my ideas, and then He just sent him off and said, now you'll just be a good person and just go do that. Go do what I've told you. No, He called together a group of men. And quickly, a great group, with no handouts, with no technology, scattered by persecution, but they had the Holy Spirit in their gifts and they had each other and they turned the world upside down. Number one, he says to us, God the Holy Spirit always honors the Lord Jesus. Look at verse 3. Therefore I made known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed. Listen to what people say about the Lord Jesus. Listen to what religious leaders say about Jesus. You'll quickly find out if they're speaking by the Holy Spirit or if they're speaking by the devil. No one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed, and then believers confess Jesus as Lord. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit. Now you can say the words, but the point is, you can never say Jesus is Lord as we would say when we are believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. What do we say over and over? If you will confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, we come quickly to verses 4, 5, and 6 that lay before us this whole issue of diversity of gifts to a diversity of people in order to accomplish a diversity of work. I read the New American Standard, and the word is varieties. Now, there are varieties of gifts. Okay, there are varieties of apples, aren't there? There are varieties of apples. Granny Smith green are the best in the world. They'll make you tart. They give it that little bit of, that's the best. Bring me some Granny Smith, somebody. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. So here we go. Variety of gifts. Here they are. Look, variety. Variety. But the same Spirit. Notice, there are a variety of ministries and the same Lord. Okay, follow it. Verse 6. There are a variety of effects, but the same Spirit of God who works all things in all persons. What's Paul saying here? He's layering this together. He's showing you cause and effect. The variety of gifts that we all have in this church create a variety of ministries. And as a result of having that variety of ministries, guess what happens? We have effectiveness. That's how the church gets things done. We don't have to go adopt the world's ways. We do what the Holy Spirit has given us to do. We take our gifting, we get over our shyness, and we say, I'm going to serve God and I'm going to use my gifts. And we find our place of service, and look at this, the effects. It's God who works all these things in all these people. I love to say it to you. When you are doing your gifts, I love to see it, because notice what it says here in the next verse. For to one's given wisdom, spirit, another word of knowledge. Remember, this is a mixture of the apostolic gifts and the ministry gifts of today. They're all blended together in this illustration because Paul was still around and the church was in transition. Not like it is completely now. But the point is, verse 11, one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one, here's the individual, just as He wills. The Holy Spirit determines how He wants to distribute the gifts on us. Verse 12, for even as the body is one, yet has many members, all the members of the body, though are many, are one body in Christ. My individuality is lost in the many. It doesn't matter who's first. It matters that we all serve one another. And so what I was about to say is in verses 7 through 10, these manifestations, people want to know, how do you see the manifestation of the Holy Spirit? Well, you're witnessing part of it with what I'm doing with you right now in my life. You're seeing an exhibition of the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. I'm doing one of my spiritual gifts. I do it all the time in front of you. And sometimes you don't like what I do when I do my gift in front of you. Sometimes you do. I'm manifesting the Holy Spirit through carrying out the gift of prophecy. But what I love to see, I know you. When you exercise your spiritual gifts, we see a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. That's wonderful. That's much better than having to see somebody fall out because somebody laid their hands on them. Or carry out and hollering and screaming. No. It's the beauty of a manifestation of the Holy Spirit is to see God's people doing God's work with their gifts. It's beautiful. That's what Paul's trying to say here. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit, verse 7. To each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit. So notice, varieties of gifts lead to varieties of ministries, varieties of effects. If you in your spiritual gifts believe that the church, this church, ought to be engaged in a certain kind of ministry, here's the philosophy of old Pastor Mike. I listen to the people. If the people come and say, this is what we should do, this ministry needs to be X, then we start listening. I'm listening because people with gifts, spiritual gifts, come and say these things. I don't have all the gifts. I need you to speak up. That's why we demonstrate. We use the variety of gifts to lead to varieties of ministries that accomplish varieties of effects. I'm just going through 4, 5, 6. And then we see the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And we've witnessed it many times in our church. Verse 11, the Holy Spirit is revealed in actions of the spiritual gifts. So again, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as He wills. The Holy Spirit distributes these individual spiritual gifts according to His will. And number 9 and 10, the church is one body of Christ with many members in the body. And the Holy Spirit unites all believers into one body. By one Spirit, look at verse 13, we are all baptized into one body. Whether Jew or Greek, slave or free, we were all made to drink of one Spirit. What a wonderful thing. The body of Christ is not one person, but many persons. When a church, this is why Paul has to have a talk with the Corinthians. They got worried about their favorite preacher. Well, I'm of Paul, I'm of Peter, I'm of Apollos, and some of them said, well, I'm of Jesus. They had their favorite preacher. In the church, there's no superstars. In the church, nobody is here to be made famous. We're here to do what Paul says here. For the body is not one member, but many. And there are many members, but one body. Notice now what he says as we finish. There are two sides to this. First of all, some people say, well, I don't have a part. But if you're a believer, you do. Listen, verse 15. If the foot says, because I'm not a hand, I'm not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any less part of the body. If the ear says, because I'm not an ear, I'm not a part of the body, it's not for this reason any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, let's just say, if the whole body was filled with people who prophesy, that would be terrible. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? Verse 17. If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now, verse 18, God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body as He desires. The blend of the body, of the gifts of the Spirit at First Baptist Church are done according to the will of God. But it's our job to know them. And for you to know one another's, so that you can rely on one another. Now that you know the gifts, as you are with your brothers and sisters in Christ, just be observant and say, I can see this gift in them. You'll see their gifts rise. That's this other side. Verse 21, the eye cannot say, I have no need of you. See, this is the opposite, where there's spiritual superiority. Well, this set of spiritual gifts are greater than these, and it's the idea that all the mercy people would gather up and have their own club. Please don't do that. We don't need all the people with the same gifts to like having their own little clubs. That's not the point. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, or the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Verse 22, on the contrary, it's much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor, and our less presentable members become much more presentable, whereas our more presentable members have no need of it, but God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. Every member's life affects the condition of this church. Did you notice in verse 26? If one member suffers, we all suffer. If one's honored, we're all honored and we rejoice. There was a season in my life where I worked with churches around the country when they'd had their pastors fail morally. Nothing more devastating than to see a church ripped apart in agony and pain because they thought the man who was preaching was living what he was preaching. Nothing sadder than to see in the church people who've made pledges and commitments they're going to serve the church and then they just decide to leave, take their family and go. You see, every one of these little people here impact this whole body. Every day of my life, every day of your life as a believer, the way you live either brings glory and honor to this church or causes the church suffering. That's the sobriety with which we take this on. We're members of one another. You see, it matters the way I live because you matter. Not this independent idea, I'm going to do whatever I want. Okay, that's pride and rebellion against God. That's what that is. And it shows up at church. No. I'm going to humble myself, thank God for my gifts, pray for God's grace every day, confess my sins, seek to live for the Lord so that I might be of encouragement to you as you do the same for me. We do this, that's what we do. That's called, and this is where we're going to be moving and I'm finishing, that's called body life. And Paul uses this phrase, and from here on we're going to move now and transition to some weeks of talking about, many of you may have heard it, some of you may have never heard it. We're going to talk about what the Bible says. Notice verse 25. So that there be no division in the body. As the spiritual gifts are working, that the members may have the same, notice this, care for one another. If you care about this church, use your gifts to the glory of God. So we're going to talk about how we now have relations with our spiritual gifts in the days ahead, Lord willing, until Jesus comes. We're going to talk about what it means to be in relationship with one another in this church. There's going to be about 12 different ways we'll find that we're to be in contact with one another. You see, we don't think about each other enough. Everything's about me. Everything's about me at church. When it should be about you and about the Lord. I'm last. I'm not first. I'm last. It's the Lord. It's everybody else in this church. And then it's me. That should be our motto. You go first. How can I help you? It's a pleasure and honor to serve you. That's the way we live. That's the joy of body life. And let me, by the way, help you with my gifts. If someone has a spiritual gift and they're trying to help you, don't push them away. Receive from them humbly what God sends them to do. Well, I won't read the hymn to you, but it's a good one. It's an old one. Blessed be the tie that binds. We're all tied and united together by the Holy Spirit of God. It won't always be like it is today at First Baptist Church. It'll be different. Every day is different. So we use these seasons as best we can. We maximize our opportunities. And right now, I'm trying to maximize our opportunities with the group of people God has brought here because there is a good spirit in our church of people who desire to learn more and to walk with God. We're going to go as quickly as we can and learn together to the glory of God. Someday the Lord may send you somewhere else. Someday the Lord will call us home. My prayer is that we as a church will learn how to honor the Lord Jesus Christ and to minister to one another because you were gifted for ministry to one another. To the praise of the glory of the Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this night. We thank you for the opportunity we have to hear from Paul. His words were so important to the church at Corinth, to all the churches as he would teach these things, and they're important for us at First Baptist Church, Dixon. We pray for those who we've thought about tonight, who are not among us. Lead us back to help them to come back if they will. We pray that you might help us to put others first and to honor the Lord Jesus every day of our life while we wait for you to come. Thank you for manifesting the Holy Spirit among us by the way we use our gifts to the glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.